Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A tunnel screen to Shakir, works his way through a tackler, stays on his feet, breaks away from another 20, 10, 5. Khalil Shakir, slippery as ever, and he's in for a 43-yard touchdown. Here's motion from Shahid, handoff goes to Kamara, and he is dropped. And there he is, the big fella, Deion Walker, dropping him for a 1-yard loss. Cook going to follow him, and he is into the end zone for a 1-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen, and with that rushing touchdown, he becomes the Bills' all-time leader in consecutive games with a rushing touchdown. It's now up to 8 consecutive games.
You know, I thought this morning I should have bet James Cook to score a rushing touchdown because it's what the Bills do, right? They get their guys their honors and their awards and their records. Remember last year trying to get somebody like the whatever number 13 or 14th guy to catch a touchdown pass or something. They try to do that. And they're cognizant of things like that. Right away in the postgame, Sean McDermott's like, congratulations on James Cook breaking the franchise record. It was kind of something they thought about. Should have done that. Didn't do it, but it didn't matter because it's all part of a Buffalo Bills victory Monday, looking back at the score where they won 31-19 over the New Orleans Saints. Welcome in. It is the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And of course, it is a Buffalo football victory Monday. And every time we talk about that, it is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. And brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Nortown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Sal Capaccio with you. And I need you to light up the phone lines because we have open phones right now, and that's what this show is about. It's a Monday. It's a call-in show. It's a reaction show, and we do it every Monday. And I'm super curious. I'm actually really curious about where all your heads are at after today. Because I think you could go in a lot of different directions after this one, to be quite honest with you. You have a lot of the, man, they did not look good again. This went poorly on offense. This went poorly on defense. Run defense. You can't play that way against Kansas City and win. Oh my gosh. What are you doing there? Timeouts being used. Like, there's a lot of that today. And there's a lot of, they're 4-0 and they just won another game by double digits, scoring 31 points, and that's what this league is about, and it's tough. And to me, I'm always like the guy who tries to put things a little bit more kind of in the middle, right, for you, where you have to recognize all of those parts. I totally get it. Where you go and, but it doesn't have to be extreme, right? It doesn't have to be extreme, and it shouldn't be extreme. And I'm always kind of the guy that, my job here, and what I think I do a good job here, I try to do at least, is to kind of bring it back a little bit from both sides, right? Because there's definitely truth in, oh my God, like things did not go well yesterday for the offense and definitely on defensive points, you know, stopping the run and all those tackling, all that. No doubt. But it wasn't as bad as you think either when I look at some of the numbers and you take it into the full complete picture and you see the forest through the trees. And then there's the other side of, oh my God, the offense, they couldn't get out of their own way. The second quarter was a disaster. I can't believe it. You're playing the Saints. They're terrible. Why didn't you score 50? Okay. And yeah, that can be true too, but they did score 31 and they won by double digits. So I'm not here to tell you, hey folks, all that matters is the result. Yes, the result is what matters on the record. And I'll be the first to tell you and say you should be happy when your team wins, because there's a lot of teams right now, fan bases that aren't happy today that their team didn't win. The LA Chargers lost to a winless team and they were undefeated. Okay, like they're not happy today. There are fan bases not happy today with what happened with their team yesterday and yours won. So you should be happy in a Buffalo victory Monday. But it doesn't mean you need to be satisfied. It doesn't mean you think that everything is great. And that's okay. And that's why we talk about it on a Monday. So I think what we've done with this show over the years is we've done a really good job. All of you have. With you know, calling in and setting the right tone. And I'd like to continue to do that today. So here's what I do on a Monday. I take your phone calls and you are free to, you have the stage. You have the floor. You can say, you know, whatever you want, good, bad, negative, positive, indifferent, whatever, comment, question, whatever. The only thing I always ask is be respectful. And we have and I always say, like, let's not try to do extremes. Let's not try to do the extreme thing. But certainly, you know, there's some valid points on all these sides of where this team is right now and the performance from yesterday specifically. So I'd like to get your thoughts. I'm just curious on what everybody thinks. I didn't spend much time on social media last night. After the game yesterday, Matt Bove and I did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, which you can find, you know, online and wherever you pod. And at the Sal Sports YouTube channel, by the way, I want to thank everybody. We just hit 14,000 subscribers there. So that's really cool because we got a lot of stuff going on there with the Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt and I did that. But we decided to wait to do it yesterday till after the Chiefs-Ravens game, so I actually did all my stuff at the stadium post-game, and I went back home, and I actually watched some football, and then I watched that game. We did a podcast, so I kind of didn't get into, and I had to write my arrow up, arrow down column. You can find that. So I didn't get into a lot of your reaction on social. So honestly, I really don't know what to expect today from some of your reaction other than what I heard on Jeremy and Joe's show, which was a little all over the place, and I understand that. Let's do some house cleaning here before we get into your phone calls. We are live on our YouTube page. WGR550 on YouTube. I tweeted out the link at Sal Sports. You can watch us there. All right. We got Owen producing. I think is Owen in there? Owen, I think, right? Say hi. Is he in there? Okay. Is that Owen or is that G? Who's in there? I can't tell. G's in there. Sorry, G. Didn't mean that. Sorry, buddy. I can't see with the glare. That's not a bald joke, by the way. I can't see with the glare coming into the light right there. G's in there. We got Joe Callie producing on the audio side, basically. And we got your phone calls at 803-0550. But you can watch. Got the Victory Monday shirt on because it is a Victory Monday. You should celebrate that. Your team is 4-0, and they're the only team that's 4-0 and undefeated in the entire AFC. We'll get the sit-up, stand-down, and hey, buddy, a little bit later. We'll run through the rest of the NFL schedule and what happened over the weekend later as well. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to be with you on a great-looking Monday again today. Beautiful outside. And we head towards Rivalry Weekend, the Rivalry Game, Nike Rivalry Series. The Bills will be wearing those jerseys Sunday night next week, but a lot to get to on this game before we turn that page. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's start us off with Walter in Toronto. Hi, Walter. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for your introduction. You kind of walked me back from the edge there, because I've been happy. I mean, since Alan's come, like we have a winning product, and it's great to go to the games, and that's fantastic. Because you know, I went through the drought like a lot of us did, and that was horrible. But you know, we need a winner, Sal. We got to win a Super Bowl. I don't want Josh Allen become like Dan Marino. You know, so watching yesterday, I think we have a few holes we got to work on. They're good, but they got to be better. One is we got to do something about the run game, and we had a young back just seemingly run all over us yesterday. And then I'm a little worried about the secondary. I know you said this morning they said they wanted to get that guy in the bed, and White was out. But I think that was also reflective of White's play. He stepped it up after because he was a little shaky in the first half. And I just worry that we don't have a deep threat. You know, we got the best arm in the league, And man, I'd love to go down. I'd love to go downtown the way some of the other quarterbacks were slinging it yesterday. You know, I was watching a lot of football, and the one time it went down, you know, gets intercepted. So I'm a little, you know, that's number three on the pecking order about what to worry about is that we don't really have a deep threat. You know, they said this morning, I listened to Joe, and they said, you know, the Elijah Moore, like, if he's the fastest we got, and they're talking about Worthy. I don't know if you remember, I called way back and I said, you know, why the Bills allowing KC to move up to pick up this guy? Fine, you don't want him, but don't help your rival, right? But anyways, that's another for another day. But so what do you
did
think?
You, did you listen? Did you listen to Josh Allen after the game?
You know what? I'm in Canada, so it's hit and miss what I can get. Like, unfortunately, I can't get a lot of stuff. What did he say?
There were some throws down the field early, and one of my arrows down was going away from Keon Coleman. They had a couple big plays, and what Josh said was they made an adjustment. They went more of a two high, and they kept everything underneath. There were some plays downfield they tried early on, so you got to understand too, Walter, it's part of the game, right? The other team's making adjustments to take that away from you, and that's what he said. And he said, you know, the pick happened, and they were making an adjustment. By the way, heck of a play by the safety on the pick right there. I'm not saying your concern isn't valid about a deep threat, but it's also the way the game is played and teams taking things away, right? There's the other team gets scheming against you too.
True. I just think I just don't want to become like the way the Patriots were, like dink and dunk. And I know they won their share of Super Bowls, but
They weren't always dink and dunk. They threw down the field plenty with Tom Brady, but I mean, and they did. And a lot of times in his career, Brady took. Hey, that's a great example. Brady took what the defense gave him. So, okay, yep, we're one call in, and this is what I mean, right? And this is nothing wrong with this. Not a criticism of Walter when I say this. We are one call in. The Bills won by 12 points. They scored 31 points, and he had 3 points, and all were negative. And criticism, and that's okay. But that's what I mean about today, right? Which is kind of crazy. All right, let's go to Colton and Wilson. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Colton.
One thing I would like to say is that I know we didn't really have the best first half of what we were hoping to, but one thing I have always liked about this season so far, we are a very good fourth quarter team, and even with like against the Dolphins and the.
I lost you there, Colton. Your cell cut out there. Yeah, the Bills were better as the game went on yesterday. They cleaned some things up. There's no doubt about that. They go into the fourth quarter. They were up 21-16. They give up a field goal, make it 21-19. Then they score a touchdown, a field goal themselves. And it was a much better end of the game than it was, I guess you'd say, start of the game for the Bills, and especially, you know, middle of the game, second quarter specifically. Neil in North Carolina. Hi, Neil.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sal. Two questions, but the first thing I wanted to say is it seems to be that a lot of people are upset that they didn't kill him, that it was a close game. These are the games the past couple of years we actually thought we should win and we lost. We won this game. We beat them. We beat them by 10 points or 12 points. It's a game that in the past we seemed to find a way to lose that this time we won. The two questions I have, one...
I actually don't think that's true, though. They haven't really lost games to teams like that in the past. Anytime they've had teams they should beat, they beat them. Last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, like, they crushed those teams. What I would say is they've lost some close games, and then they started to win a little bit more of that. But I don't agree that these are the kinds of teams they've lost against. That just hasn't happened other than maybe Jacksonville a few years ago.
I didn't mean the team. I meant those kind of games where everybody thinks we're going to win, we should win, and then it ends up being close and we lose.
Got you.
But the two questions I have for you. One, it seemed to be the first two drives they had were great. They were doing the passing. They were doing the running. Cook was running great. And then they went away from it. And I was a little bit surprised at that. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is I looked at the past with Josh Palmer. He was a deep threat in college, and at times with the Chargers, he was a deep threat. Do you think it's just getting him really settled in to the offense and he could be that one? Or am I just...
No, I think that it's just part of the fact that the Bills use all of their weapons, all of their guys at their disposal. They don't have one guy that gets the share. This is what everybody eats means, right? I mean, he is a guy that can get down the field a little bit. We just talked about with the last caller, which is the other team's doing some things too. I don't know. I'd like to see... I'd love to see one guy, one game where we have one guy get 150 yards and we all say, there it is, yeah. That's the guy, right?
Yeah,
I mean, but
right.
I don't know if that's going to happen, to be quite honest with you, Neil. It might be a lot to ask. When you say went away from it, what do you mean? What did they go away from? Because I'll just say, I just think the execution was poor because they didn't really do anything different other than maybe not throw the ball as deep because, like Josh said, they were taking that away, but they were still running James Cook. And, like, if you go to the third drive, he had negative 1 yard on a play, and then Josh Allen throws deep incomplete, and then deep intercepted. And then they go to the next one. Cook runs for 4 yards, and then they have a 8 yard gain, and then an incomplete pass. They were shooting themselves in the foot by not doing anything in the second quarter.
You're right. He just looked so awesome. I mean,
and he was in the second half. James Cook was. James Cook is amazing, by the way. He is really amazing. If there's a guy on this team that you could say, man, the Bills would not be 4-0 without this guy. Of course it's Josh Allen, but James Cook is number two on that list without a doubt. Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy, you're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, listen, just like last week's call, I haven't got a worry in the world. Not one. The only thing I'm disappointed in is that Kansas City beat Baltimore, because if they hadn't, we'd have a 3-game lead on both of them. That's all I'm worried about. And you know, if we have that one loss and Kansas City wins, they're one game behind us. So that's the only thing. These games, Sal, are so predictable. You know, if we were supposed to win this game by 50, then why didn't Las Vegas have the line at 40 or 45? Look, these games happen all the time. These guys are human. They look at the schedule. They know they don't see Baltimore and KC. They see weaker teams, and I'm not saying they mail it in, but they do see these kind of games. I have one worry about this team, one worry, and that's it. And that's if our big guy gets hurt. If he gets hurt, goodbye season. If he doesn't, we win the Super Bowl. Simple as that. That's it, Sal.
Yeah, I mean, every team who has an elite quarterback probably has that same thought and worry. It shouldn't worry you other than, hey, I mean, if it happens, it would really suck, obviously. But let's not even go down that road. But every team who has an elite quarterback, that's what it is, right? Got to keep 17 healthy, no doubt. It is funny. He's like, I don't have a worry in the world, except for two things. It's all good, man. Thanks, Billy. Lino in Ontario. Lots of calls coming north of the border today. What's up, Lino?
Shaw, good morning. It's always a pleasure listening and obviously a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, buddy.
The win, you know what? A win is a win. Like, you know, my dad always said, good teams always find a way to win. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it.
Didn't we sit here all last year watching Kansas City win and go, oh my God, how did they win again? This is ridiculous. Yeah, they're so lucky. Yeah. But, you know, it took them all the way to the Super Bowl. They lost that game, but it did take them all the way there.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, you know, they're doing right now, they're doing just enough to win when they have to win. Mm. And I'm sure it's like any other sport. You know, you're playing a division rival, and I know you have to treat everybody fair and equitable, but let's face it, you're playing a weaker team and you tend to sort of play a little bit less. You play a stronger team and you sort of rise to the occasion. Now, I'm not saying that New Orleans is a weaker team, but...
Well, they are. They are with their record.
Yes,
that's
know,
for sure.
But,
yeah, and they have a young... I get it. You know, it's funny. It's a good point, Lino, and I like to say it this way, and I don't know if it's intentional where you, and you could say you rise to the occasion. I do think the competitive nature is true, but I always like to say, I have a saying, every game has its own DNA. When people say to me, well, you can't play like that against the Chiefs and win, I'm like, well, they didn't play the Chiefs. They played the Saints. You'll have a different game plan against the Chiefs, right? And I think that's what you're saying, which is every team is different in how you have to approach the game and the game plan.
That's correct. That's exactly what I'm saying. And yesterday's game plan for the team that we played was sufficient enough to win. Now, if you go up again, look at Baltimore. I mean, my God, half the stadium emptied out. And I was one of the ones who called and said, yeah, I'll eat crow for that. But, hey, we came back. So it's not as if we can't do it. We can. It's just, you know, you don't want to kill yourself. Maybe I'm not saying this right, but I understand. Like, a win is a win. And even though this team may not have been a superior team, we still put up 30 points, and we get 30 points up against 40 points up against a better team. So I'm not worried, but like the previous caller said, as long as Josh Allen stays healthy, we have got an incredible shot.
You got it, Lino. Thanks, buddy. I got to get running. Good call. And what did Coach Parcells say? Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. Because when you say that team's actually better than their record, that team isn't as good as their record. You are what your record says you are. But certainly, you can look at a game within the game and say, that's not good enough how we want to play to our standard. It doesn't have to be just if we played this other team, it wouldn't be good enough. It's how you want to compare yourself to you. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
First off, thanks for always being my eyes. And I definitely missed you guys all week. Last week, I was in North Carolina. My father passed away. Full military service. I got the folded flag. It was an honor. But I definitely missed you guys listening to you.
That was your father? I'm sorry, your father, you said?
Yeah, my father passed away. He was in the Navy.
Well, thank you. Thanks to him for his great service to this country, and our condolences here to you and your family.
Thank you very much. So yesterday I was on the road following the game, and I didn't worry about us losing at all. And one of the things you always stress is it's embedded in my head now. Every game has its DNA, and I never, ever look forward. Oh, well, we can't do that against that team or this team. We won. It's 31-19. We did our job. And as far as the defense, I'm very, very excited to see what our defense is going to look like later on, because once they start gelling, because Bobby Babich knows what he's doing. He's working, you know, he's utilizing what he has, and he's moving men, guys around. So let's see what happens in the future, but a game at a time. And we're, what, we're 4-0. Be happy. Yeah. Don't have that rich people's problems, you know? That's what it is. We're spoiled as Bills fans. Just enjoy the win. That's all you got to do. But every game has its DNA.
That's right.
That's what
I love it. I love it. I'm glad I've brought that in. I've brought that into your world, and you remember it. Thanks, Rob. Again, our condolences to you and your family, buddy.
You.
Yeah, you
Thank
got it. No doubt. You know, the Bills defense overall actually had a pretty good day numbers wise. I know you don't want to hear it, right? But I'm going to tell you anyway. I mean, they gave up 19 points. Anytime you allow less than 20 in the NFL, it's pretty good. But even beyond that, the Saints had less than 300 yards of offense, 298. The Saints had 4.6 yards of play. That's a pretty low number. I mean, the Saints went 5 of 13 on third down, 38.5%. Now, they converted two of their first four, and you're like, here we go again. And then after that, the Bills kind of shut them down. So numbers-wise, Bills did a pretty good job against the Saints' defense. But yeah, you look at that big, large rushing yardage total, and you know, you don't feel good about it. I get it. Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, real quickly on the Bills, and then I have two other comments that are slightly off subject, is we need to relax. I mean, the Giants beat the Chargers yesterday. The night game, the best offensive player for the Cowboys was out. Their best defensive player was actually playing for the other team, and the game tied. It's the NFL. Everybody gets paid. We need to relax on these games. The other thing is, in week 7, this defense is going to look totally different, not just with the addition of players, but with the changed rotation. How will Bosa be on 30 snaps and not 50 snaps? It's going to change, okay? Everybody needs to relax. My two other comments, one is a baseball. I think the Reds are going to beat the Dodgers, and I'll tell you why. Hunter Green is the best pitcher in baseball, and then it might be the best pitcher in the National League, and he's pitching game one. So all the Reds have to do is steal one of the next two games if they win that game. I think that's a value bet. The second thing is I'm fully convinced that Lamar Jackson is hurt because he never takes himself out of a game where he can pad his MVP stats. It was classic fourth quarter, throw for two touchdowns in a meaningless time and raise your numbers.
Okay,
I think
thank
he's
you.
Definitely hurt.
Thank you. Did not think we'd have some NL baseball playoff talk today on a Buffalo Football Monday, but that's okay. We're here for you, Jerry. How about the Mets missing the playoffs? That's crazy. Have we checked in on Howard Simon today? Is he doing okay? Has anybody checked in on Howard Simon today? Is he doing okay? I'm not really.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure. Might have to do that. I don't know. You might be right that he's been playing hurt. I don't know. He did, you know, get pulled with a hamstring injury yesterday. Lamar, that is. I'm not about to tell you. Oh, he just padded his stats. That dude's a great player. He gets great stats because he's a great player. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Great show, great start. Hey, did not say hi to the bullpen today. Hi, bullpen. What's going on? I see you there. Got Kelvin, got AC, got Mauricio, got Tony. Who am I missing here? I'm Sabbath, Pancakes. Everybody's in it. The crew is here today. So thank you all very much. What is the bullpen? Sounds like people are like, what's the bullpen? What baseball playoffs? The bullpen? Yankee Stadium? No. That's the chat box on YouTube. Go there, WGR550 YouTube page. Go over there, say hi. We got a lot of great discussion in there, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you coming aboard. I can't really respond while we're doing that because I'm doing the radio show, and that's because you're calling. 803-0550, the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
What a blessing. Got a great staff around me through the years, really good, great players around me, and can't do this job by yourself. Extremely grateful. Grateful to the fans, too, because a lot of those wins have happened at home. So they played a big part in it.
Sean McDermott, postgame, his 90th win as head coach of the Bills, asked about that. Bills moved to 4-0. Back here today to talk about it on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday reaction show on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I said hi to the bullpen on the way out of the break, and there's a few names I missed, and I wasn't trying to do that. I just didn't see you. But JT, I got you, buddy. I see you. And go Bills, and Tyron, and Phillip, and everybody. Mike B, Seabass. So there you go. Tony. I could go through it for days, but I got to take phone calls. So you guys keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep the show rolling here with Mike in Maryland. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Happy Victory Monday. Wanted to talk about Colt Bishop. I've been waiting for this guy. It's been a year and a half, right?
Yeah, I think everybody has. I think the Bills have.
Yeah, drafted out of Utah, I think. Never saw him in college. Read about how athletic this guy was. I think he had like a 9.4 out of 10 in PFF rating in terms of athleticism. And, man, did he show up yesterday right in front of us. We were at the game, me and my buddies.
Yeah.
He goes up like Dennis Rodman on maybe the most important play of the game.
Yep.
To keep them from scoring and double dipping and going ahead by a touchdown or more after they double dipped, and he comes down with the biggest play of the game. Incredible.
Yeah, it was right in front of me too. I was literally standing right there at the pylon, and I had no idea he was there, and then all of a sudden he just came out of nowhere. And for him to read the play, that's the other thing about this, Mike. It wasn't just the athletic play he made. Yes, that was part of it. It was he made a play where he read it and then saw it and trusted it, and that's the confidence he's gaining by getting the reps that Sean McDermott said he needed to get. So great play by Colt Bishop all around. I agree with you. That was the play of the game that really kind of helped the Bills kind of stay where they were score-wise and not go, you know, double dip, like you said, for New Orleans, and then allow themselves a little room in the second half as the game went on. Steve in Virginia. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Sal. How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, to kind of piggyback off of what previous caller said before the break, you know, the teams that we've last faced, the Dolphins and Saints, they're both winless. So you can tell both teams were hungry. It's like, you know, they're trying hard to get that first win. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, we basically got, you know, the Saints and the Dolphins best shots, and we still came out with the win by more than, you know, double digits. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be mad at that, right? The result. I think the issue is that, you know, you don't want to be results based, and we say that all the time, but in the NFL, that's all that matters at the end of the day, because that's what determines your record. No one puts an asterisk if you didn't play well over a win. But when you play a certain way and it's not up to your own standard, then that's when people get concerned. And I think the standard has been set so high and the bar has been set so high here in Buffalo. And the fact they haven't won a Super Bowl because of some of these standards not being met in those critical games getting to a Super Bowl, that's what people get concerned about. I get it. But the playoffs don't start tomorrow, as someone said in the bullpen. Thank you. That's right. They don't. You didn't play Kansas City yesterday. You played New Orleans. That was the game that you played to beat them. And guess what? They played a good enough game to beat them. And I think better than people realize numbers-wise. It just didn't feel like it. It didn't flow like it. Again, numbers-wise, 4.6 yards of play, less than 200 yards of offense. Defense did a good job. 3 of 15 on third down for New Orleans. But yeah, gave up a lot of yards on the ground. Don't want to see that. Spencer Rattler, with his legs, hurt the Bills. That was an issue yesterday. Something that needs to be cleaned up. Offensively, too many penalties, both sides of the ball, but especially on offense, when they had drives they were trying to sustain, they kept knocking them back. Too many sacks. Pass protection was not good. At the end of the day, Josh made a couple critical plays. James Cook ran the ball very well in the second half, and they score 31. And they get a double-digit win. Didn't even cover the spread, but that was a pretty damn high spread. 16.5. Mike in PA, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, bud.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too concerned with the defense and giving up yards because they're going to get new pieces intertwined in there. But I am concerned about this passing offense. I really am. I mean, I like the innovation that they're doing. They're doing three tight ends. They're running with James Cook. They're relying a lot. I want to see what this offense looks like without James Cook. God forbid him go down. What are we talking about then? Can they spread teams out? They're going to have to do it at some point.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to see what the offense looks like without James Cook. You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, though. I do. I would say there's a point to be made here that, you know, they're very reliant on James Cook this year, whereas in the past few years, they've kind of had a little bit more of a committee. He's been the guy, but you could bring Ray Davis in. You could bring Ty Johnson in, and those guys really had a role. And I don't know what their role is right now because it's just the James Cook show, basically.
Yeah, and he's running tremendous.
Yes.
I mean, he has an element to our offense that is – top five right now from the running back position, but
yeah.
You're right. I gotta see more from Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, because it's a physical game. Injuries pop up, and how does our offense morph? But I mean, I know we have a huge cannon at quarterback. Why are we not going down? Do we just not have the ability to do it? I know they're playing double safeties, high safeties. I get that. You got to find a way to beat it. If they're playing zone, you go in between the zones deep. There's ways to beat it. I mean,
the question is this, and your concern is right, and I get it, that you want to see it because you wonder about it. Can you do it? The question is, do you just do it to do it if they're giving you the other stuff? And Josh Allen's answer is no, that you just take the other stuff.
Yeah, and he's tremendous at it, and he's been checking down. That's the thing about Josh is he looks in total control,
yes,
similar
agreed.
To like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're gonna lose games because he's such in command of the game, and I
yeah.
see it. It's all from start to finish. I just worry about, you know, if we're trailing, do we have enough firepower at the wide receiver position to come back? I know the tight ends are good. It's a concern because I know we're gonna have to figure it out. It's gonna you know, creep up at in a big opportune game, and we do. We all have PTSD as Bills fans because we can't win the big one when the playoffs come. It's not about the regular season. It's all about the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, that's my concern is does Dave Davis, or Gabe Davis, is he the deep threat going forward? I mean, I don't know. I just got to see something, some explosion and from the offense. That's my concern.
Yeah, you got it. And I think we'd all love to see those explosive plays. They come via the yards after catch a lot of times, like Khalil Shakir yesterday, right? And again, I mean, what you can be results-based and say, but does it matter? They're getting the yards that way as opposed to the other way. No, that's not wrong. But I think that he makes a good point, which is in a game, when you get in a game that's a close game and maybe it gets a little away from you a little bit later and you got to catch up, do you have the pieces to be able to do that? They did against the Baltimore Ravens. And let's remember, they did throw the ball downfield a little bit. Jackson Hawes made a big catch. Keon Coleman made a big catch, a couple of them, down the field. So they had it in that game. You hope you get to a point, and this goes back to your James Cook point, where you're not in that position, and you can just kind of put James Cook on the sideline, let other guys do their job, and then you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Brent in Rochester. Hi, Brent. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Sal, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Hey, quick question. Listen to the guys before you and everything, the deep threat. My question is Terrell Shavers. Well, he's taking up a roster spot. He's a fast dude. Why don't we get him out there? I mean, we haven't seen him. I mean, we haven't seen him. He hasn't been used. Nothing. Like, what's going on with him?
No, he's on the field. He's on the field. I'll look at his snap counts, but he's on the field quite a bit. Let's see. Yesterday, not as much. 24%. Let me see where he was. Hold on. Let me just kind of get you. I think you hung up there, though. And I was trying to help you out, pal. All right. Let me see. I'll get his snap count usage for the first 3 weeks. So I don't think it's as low as you think, but maybe it's a little lower than I think. Let's see. 25 out of 75, 17. Yeah, he hasn't been on the field as much as I thought. They're using him more, 25% total. They're using him more as a blocker and a guy that every once in a while can, you know, come up with a play. But look, I mean, it's not as easy as just you're fast, run down the field. And he's got some speed. He's not a burner necessarily. I think Elijah Moore would be more that guy. But they use him in the role they kind of used Mac Hollins in last year, but throwing him the ball less. So I don't know if Tyrell Shavers is. Hey, if you're going to make a point about the lack of deep threat explosion on the Bills, yeah. I just don't think Tyrell Shavers is the guy that you should be pointing to try and get that from. Matt is up next here on WGR. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller, and so I'm excited. But before I get to my question, I want to compliment you because we are a passionate fan base, obviously. When I listen to other talk shows, they're kind of nasty when they argue with the fans, and you're always good to us. So I really appreciate that about you.
I have my moments that I regret, but I appreciate that. I try to do my best. Thank you.
You make us feel good, even on bad days. So the one question I wanted to ask, I already touched on it, but one is Ray Davis.
Yep.
Do you read anything into the fact that they don't even really seem to be trying him, other than the fact that James Cook is awesome? And then the second question I wanted to ask you was, which AFC team scares you the most right now? Because it changes for me every week. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, you got it, Matt. First of all, I would like to see more from Ray, but I look at both of him and Ty Johnson not on the field as much as we saw last year, not being used as much, and I wonder if it truly is more of a product of James is cooking, pun intended. I mean, he really is. He's so good, and these are close games, and they need him. And they're using James Cook so much that you're not seeing Ray Davis now. When he's on the field, it hasn't been as productive. I get that, and that's what you'd like to see more of. When he is on the field, you'd like to see more production. Even Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson just has not been as involved, right? And he's a guy that third down back, and we see him on the field, but not getting the touches. And so I want to be careful, Matt, of making this a Ray Davis and Ty Johnson point, because I think it might be a James Cook point, as you brought it up. You know what I mean? And I think that's it. But you'd certainly like to see more production. But let's hopefully this team can get a couple games where they can, you know, get some leads and get these guys in the game and feel a little bit better in what we see from them and keeping James healthy as well, because he's taken on such a load. I would still say the team that concerns me the most might be the Ravens because of the way that they're built and the matchup for the Bills. But certainly their defense has not been up to standard for them. They're very banged up right now. And let's be honest, Matt, anybody who watched the Chiefs yesterday with their offense rolling the way it was, with their receivers coming back, probably is going to tell you, as I will now, the Kansas City Chiefs are starting to be that team again.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but you're right. Thanks for that, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks for the phone call and the kind words. Lee in Buffalo. Hi, Lee. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Well, questions or comments. It's like today. I heard it a little bit today. Bills fans, I'm a diehard Bills fan, but I'm getting annoyed when people expect the Bills to blow out the Dolphins, to blow out the Saints. Now there's whispers at work that they expect to blow out the Patriots. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm not a big fan of sitting there saying you got to blow somebody out. A win is a win. And if anybody knows, Mike Vrabel knows, this game Sunday is going to be a dogfight, because Mike Vrabel knows he was on the other side when the Bills were trying so hard to beat Tom Brady and them. Now teams are coming after us because they know we're good. So you're going to get someone's best every single Sunday, because the Bills are at the top of the league. And if anyone knows, it's Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, I would say those are fans, and fan is short for fanatic, and they're very passionate about their team. But those are people at work that you can choose to listen to or not listen to, or just tell them exactly what you told me, Lee, because I agree with you. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for call. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. And more of your phone calls on the way. We'll also get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, in the next hour, a lot going on here today. Lots of good calls. I really appreciate it. I said at the top of the show, I'm very curious about your mindset after that game yesterday. And I'm still very curious about your mindset because you've been bringing it today with a lot of different points and good observations from yesterday. And we'll keep that up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Bills beat the Saints. Saints had a had the best ever. The Saints had the best winning percentage of any team in the NFL at Highmark Stadium going in. Did you know that, Joe? They had an 800 winning percentage. They were 4-1.
I knew it, but only the day of the game. Someone told
Crazy,
me. It's
right?
Pretty unbelievable.
I know. So Bills beat them for the first time since 1983 inside Highmark Stadium. Let's get to Mike, who's up next. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Morning, gentlemen. I want to say that, first off, I'm thrilled with the win. But I wonder if we're putting too much stock in the Michael Hoyt and Okejobi and maybe the return of Oliver and the others. And how much of our problems on defense is the scheme and, you know, in giving up chunk plays and not being able to get off the field on third down, which is maddening.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's start for me. First of all, they got off the field on third down yesterday. The Saints were 5 of 13, 38%. All right? So I don't know why. And again, I know that if they had a couple early in the game, and one was a big Spencer Rattler run, but they did get off the field, and they've actually been trending a lot better on third down lately. Secondly, I would say tackling was a much bigger issue than any scheme yesterday, Mike. I mean, they were in position, and they missed a lot of tackles yesterday. So I don't think scheme was an issue yesterday because third down defense was actually pretty good, and it seemed to me like they were generally in position. I mean, they had the Saints had nothing, no passing game to speak of. Now, yes, I do think some people think a lot of times, oh, my God, this guy will fix everything, this guy will fix that. It's not just Michael Hoyt, though. It's not just Larry Ogunjobi. It's not just Ed Oliver. But, Mike, when you add all those guys up, yes, it matters. But the problem is it is the NFL, and you generally aren't going to be always healthy all the time. So you're going to be missing guys. But, yeah, I think if you add in Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Ed Oliver, and Matt Milano all together, I do think you can make a difference. But, yeah, I mean, they were good on third down yesterday, Mike. They were the Saints were 5 of 13.
Overall, over the season, though, in the past couple of years, I think getting off the field in third down
has been
our biggest problem.
Yeah, but what happened the past couple of years doesn't matter to this year, right? I mean, that's what they know that, and he said, and Bobby Babbage has said that. But I mean, like, if you're talking about now and guys coming back to fix and the scheme, you're talking about now. And now, today, yesterday, they were very good, and they were not good on third down against the Miami Dolphins numbers-wise, no doubt about that. I agree with you. They were great against the Jets, and they were not bad against the New Orleans Saints. So I think you have to look a little deeper. You have to actually, you know, see some of the numbers and try and wash it. I agree with you that sometimes people say, well, this guy's coming back, he's going to fix everything, or people can get there. No, but when you add up Michael Hoyt and Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, like, that can matter to a defense. There's no doubt about it. Those are really good players. And from what I saw about Michael Hoyt, to answer your question about him, I thought he was fantastic in training camp and preseason. And I can't wait till the Bills get him back in the field because I think they have big plans for him. I want to see how they employ him, but you got to do it, right? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for hanging with me on a Buffalo Football Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the snap, orbit motion, it's a reverse, Olave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
Great play right there by Cole Bishop, one of yesterday's highlights. Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Glad to be a part of that broadcast on a beautiful, glad to be on the sidelines on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon at Highmark Stadium. Yesterday, Bills take care of business 31-19 over the New Orleans Saints. They are now the only undefeated team in the entire AFC and the only two teams that are undefeated in the entire NFL are the Buffalo Bills and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. That's it. 4-0 and 4-0. The Bills have right now everything in front of them to get the one. They have to get this thing home, folks. I'm going to be like Bulldog here. Get it to the garage. Get it in. You got to be able to get this thing to the garage to get the one seed. Short of injury, there's nothing that should stop them from doing that except for themselves. And you can't let that happen. They are 4-0. They have a New England team that's going to come in here ready to try and show that they are going to be competitors with the Bills now and in the future next Sunday, and we'll get to all that a little bit later in the week. But first, a lot more in this game. Let's welcome you back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, and that is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show when we're talking on a Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Before I forget, we do need to go over some injuries because there was one major-looking injury yesterday, but the guy returned, and this is the Barnes Firm Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION, and that was the punter, Cameron Johnston. Really awful-looking injury when he got blasted, run into, roughed his plant leg. And he was out for a while, he limping badly, threw his helmet down, goes into the tent. Then he comes out and he holds for a field goal. So he actually came back in the game, he was cleared. But man, that kind of injury, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain playing actually going forward. We'll see. You never know. Sean McDermott will speak later today to the media, give an update on injuries. We'll find out a little bit more on Cameron Johnston. He said after the game that he felt good, but, you know, they'll look at it. And it just seems like one of those deals where you might have to go out and get a punter now. And you feel terrible for the guy because he just tore his ACL last year in game one against the Pittsburgh Steelers and missed a whole year. So the Bills could be on the lookout for that. And then otherwise, really the only other injuries of note are the ones that the guys who are still injured who are coming back at some point. Like Maxwell Harrison is now actually eligible to start practicing this week if the Bills choose. Same thing with Tyler Bass. Same thing with Tylon Grable. So we'll see. All right, your calls here on a Buffalo Football Monday here on the second hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Dan in Buffalo is up next waiting patiently. Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I just wanted to say real quick, I disagree with a lot of the fans that are calling saying, you know, no long ball, no long ball. I think we are a more effective team now that we have James Cook who's running, because in the past, Singletary had to work so hard to try to even get 40 yards. So we got a dominant running game. I don't know all the play calls because I didn't play football. I played other sports. But when Coleman runs and he turns around and gets like a 15-yard curl route, then you might do a 5-yard slant to Shakir. I just think we're a more dangerous team. I call it like a military precision passing. I can care less if Josh Allen throws a 50-yard pass the rest of his career.
Use your legs. You got the run game. You're keeping when you got to face teams like the Chiefs, or God forbid we got to play, I would love to see an Eagles-Bills Super Bowl. Those good teams are not going to let Josh Allen throw 50, 60, 70-yard bombs. Keep slanting, curl routes, slant passes. You're keeping a good offense off the field. You're eating the clock. Less mistakes, less interceptions.
The other part about that is, Dan, something you just said, which is if people are concerned about the Bills' defense, what's a good way to mitigate that? Keep them off the field, right? You could do that too, yes, you know?
And yeah. I just one more thing. I think the only thing the Bills did wrong yesterday is, until Dalton Kincaid caught that touchdown pass, I was saying, yeah, they're moving the ball with what I call military precision short passes. They weren't using the tight ends enough.
No, they didn't. That's right, yeah.
Other than that, I just think that makes us a more dangerous team. I don't care about when we lost to the Chiefs and it was always long ball to Diggs, long ball to Davis when he had 200 yards back in 2020 or whatever. This is a more dangerous offense if it comes down to playoff time. And, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
No, it's okay, Dan. I want to touch on your tight end usage point. It's a good point because they did not use the tight ends much yesterday. Jackson Hawes was the most snaps, had the most snaps for any tight end yesterday. Then it was Knox, one more than Kincaid, but Hawes was on the field quite a bit more than those guys. And they didn't throw to the tight ends. They had three targets. One was a nice catch by Jackson Hawes, and then the touchdown to Dalton Kincaid, two catches. I think yesterday was just, this goes back to the old saying, every game has its own DNA. Remember the game a few weeks ago, maybe last week, whatever, tight ends were more involved, right? This one, less involved, more wide receiver heavy, and it's just every game has a different game plan. We'll see what they come up with next week. Thanks a lot for the call. Steve in Amherst, you're up next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. What I saw New Orleans make it a two-point game, but when Buffalo went out on the field, I'm one of these guys, I believe. That's what I said. I guaranteed it. I said, Josh is going to take us down. We're going to score this touchdown. Right now, where would you rather be? We score. I was not sure on the defense if they would hold. But this was my belief again. Let them score. Let them get six. Let them even get two. But I really believe that if that would have happened, that Buffalo would have come back, and Josh would have ensured that we win this game no matter what. And anytime these guys want, I'm not a betting man, but if you ever see a line out there at 14.5 and 16.5 points, don't take it because you're being baited. So be careful on bets if you're a better.
Okay, Steve. I'm glad you have that faith, but I'll tell you what. When the pass to Cooks is originally caught and called a touchdown, the Saints take a lead there. They take a lead. And that starts to get a little dicey. And I had faith, too, that Josh Allen could do it, but the problem would be the way the Saints were running the ball, they might keep it away from you the rest of the game, and you don't get opportunities. So I'm glad you have that faith, but that was a big, big call, big, big play. And obviously, it turned out to not be a touchdown. That put the Saints down two. And then the Bills scored another touchdown, which obviously kind of put the game away and put them up two scores. Michael in Cheektowaga is up next. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Calling from Cleveland Hill.
Hey, anyway, all right.
Yeah, I got some great stories someday I could share with you about watching them play in the late 60s and 70s. Anyhow, I think it's a flawed argument about people complaining about the long passing, and your previous caller touched on it. Just sit down and write on a piece of paper, write the elite playmakers that are on your defense and the elite playmakers that are on your offense. And you would want your offense on the field more. And when Sean McDermott says complimentary football, long drives, special teams to help with field position, but our defense is on the field too long. And how many times, just to take a look at the films, that Joey Bosa was like pounding the ground when they were going around him and, you know, he was trying to tackle a guy that's already passed him. I love Joey Bosa, but it just doesn't make sense to like try, well, we're going to throw the ball long. Yeah. And then we're going to score faster. And then we're going to send our defense out there to play the majority of the game.
Well, it wouldn't be a problem if they do score, but if you throw the ball long and it's incomplete, then it becomes a big problem with what you're saying. You're 100% about that. Right. And then you got to put him out there. Yeah. Yeah. Scoring's great. If you score, who cares? I mean, they score within one play, the other team's still got to match you. But I agree with you that, hey, if you there is risk involved, and you could get the ball turned over. By the way, thank you on Joey Bosa. I haven't talked about him, Mike, and I want to do that right now because I thought he crashed down a little bit too much, crashed down like the end and got beat around. Like his edge setting wasn't good enough, but it wasn't because he's not a good edge setter. Joey Bosa is actually a good edge setter when he is willing to and wants to be a good edge setter and plays it like that. But he, I think, was going to the quarterback and getting beat around the edge, not only this game, but against the Dolphins as well. And it is something I think the Bills have to kind of, you know, fix a little bit with him because that's what he is. He's great at sacking the quarterback. That's what he's made his living on. But I think teams are taking advantage of him crashing down and going to the quarterback and using that against him, and something he's going to have to be aware of going forward. Tom in Wheatfield is up next. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Sal?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. I heard the Cleve Hill reference. I'm a Maryvale alumni. Kill the Hill. Remember that phrase?
Yes, I do. I remember. I do, of course. Yeah. Actually, when we were very young, they played a lot, the two schools. And then when I got to high school, we did not play at all. And I think they started. Yes, of course I remember that. And I remember bonfire. Yes. I remember bonfires where we put a Maryvale helmet on the top of the bonfire.
You got it, man. Well, I'm 62 years old, so I got it by a decade. But
you got it, buddy. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Real quick reference. Back in the early 90s, I think you were here then. I don't think you were in Florida at that point.
I mean, I was in Syracuse in college.
Okay, well, GR had a host in the morning, Saturday mornings anyways, named Rocky or Rocco Pandola.
I remember Rocco, yep.
Yeah, and some of the calls today remind me of what he had said, where the Bills were 9-3, it was during the bowl years, and he was saying it was embarrassing. And I almost went off the road. I distinctly remember because I was going to the bank. And I'm just like, what the? Really? And then I'm hearing the calls today. And I'm just like, a lot of the head coaches break the season. I think Marone did. I don't know if Sean does it, but they would break it the season into quarters. You know, we're 4-0 in the first quarter of the season. It was easier to do when it was 16 games, obviously. But at any rate, we're 4-0, man. And I don't care how we won. Our defense is going to get better. I do have a lot of faith in Michael Hoyt, and praying for that. And I think we should be happy where we're at, the best team in football with the Eagles, and let's just freaking bring it.
All right, you got it Tom. I love it. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your passion. Let's go to JD in Hamburg. Hi, JD.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Actually, I'm glad I'm talking to you because I think you'd be a great guy to bring this up with the coach if you tend to agree. And here it is. I'm surprised more Bills fans aren't talking about this. I watched the All-22. I watched replays of the game. I think, Sal, the Bills have got to stop playing two linebackers on like 95% of their downs. They need to get a third linebacker in there in the heart of their defense, and they are leaving Shaq Thompson on the bench way too much. And if you want to play a base nickel, that's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, Sal, they're damn good when they throw a third linebacker in there. And I'll even point out that on that late game drive where we stopped the Saints on fourth down, they chose to put Shaq in there as a third linebacker, if I'm not mistaken, on every single one of those plays on that particular drive. The rest of the day, he was almost non-existent, and I honestly think the Bills are paying a price for this, and I really think it's time for a third linebacker at least 5 or 6 times more than they're doing it now. Wanted to hear what you had to say.
Okay, well, first things first, it is not my place to ever tell the Buffalo Bills how to run their defense, so I would never do that. Like, you could ask questions, but that's I don't do that. You can call up and say it, and I could say it on the radio and what I think, but I would never go to Sean McTripp and say, you should play through. That's not my place. I don't do things like that.
I understand. You know what I mean? I understand. What do you think?
Okay, here's what I think. First of all, the Bills are actually playing a third linebacker way more this year than they have in the last few years. And then yesterday, let me just get the numbers yesterday. I actually tweeted out the snap counts. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull this up for you from yesterday because They did play. How much did they play? Three linebackers in base yesterday. Probably maybe not as much with Shaq. And by the way, Shaq had missed a little time early in the season. So yesterday, Taron Johnson was on the field quite a bit. Shaq Thompson was not on the field very much. Last week was a little different. They had, like, last week, let me get you the numbers on this. I just pulled it up here. Against the Miami Dolphins, there were 61 defensive snaps. Shaq Thompson was on the field for 21 of the 61, Taron Johnson for 40. Now, you could say, well, that's just too much. Here's the problem I have. I don't disagree that you can be better in those sets. Taron Johnson is maybe the best nickel corner in the league. And when a team has a slot receiver to cover, do you want a linebacker and Shaq Thompson covering him?
No, I think he's great, Sal. I'm just asking you, don't you think that even if you play a base nickel, that the Bills really would look better a lot of the time, I think, if they leaned on three linebackers more often?
Maybe. But it is a response. You have to remember, it's a response. What they're doing is a response to what the offense is doing. And if they go heavy and put a fullback or an extra tight end, you're going to see them go three linebackers. If they run, you know, 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, you're going to see Taron Johnson on the field because they're going to have more receivers to cover on the field. And I would think that you would agree that you really don't want three linebackers lined up against three wide receivers or four wide receivers necessarily, right? That would be the thing. So I understand where you're coming from. Here's the other part I would say about this, though, to be honest with you. I think he hung up. I do think it's a good point to make here about maybe how things are different with Matt Milano healthy. Because with Matt Milano, I think he presents a different element at will linebacker than what Dorian Williams does. Matt Milano is much better in coverage than Dorian Williams is. So I think with Milano out there, it makes it a little different than what you're seeing. And it's a great point. I like it. There's no right answer here. There's no right answer. Because you could definitely say, put three linebackers on the field more, you're going to be better against this, that, and the other thing. You're also going to be sacrificing there. And when you have Matt Milano versus Dorian Williams, that makes a difference when a team passes even out of a heavier set than if Dorian Williams is covering. And I think all of that matters. But yeah, I'm not going to go tell Sean McDermott that. I'm going to just talk about it on the radio. Maybe that's not my place. My place would be to ask him, what's your philosophy on that? Let's go to Doug in Hamburg. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call, man. Appreciate it.
You got it.
You got really good insight to stats and stuff that I could never figure out. So I wanted to ask your opinion on how much of the third down defense, or just the defense in general, is a positive for us because we're that good, or because New Orleans was just that bad with all the drop passes and blown up plays that they had?
Well, blown up plays are a credit to a defense, no?
Oh, I'm sorry, bad phrasing, but I'm hoping you understand what I'm trying to get.
I mean, it's a football game, right? Okay. I mean, like, you have to put that team in that position. And I don't know. I guess you could go either way, right? I could look at it either way. Five of 13 on third down means you're doing some things right, but certainly they're going to hurt themselves. It's no different than the Bills. The Bills were 3 of 10 on third down, by the way, which is not a good number. And I'm sure they had some self-inflicted wounds there. But I just think it's all. Hey, listen. Last week against Miami, this is a good example here, Doug. Last week against Miami, the Bills were not good on third down, 10 of 15. But, you know, they were playing a game that was a little different and saying, let's not get beat deep. And because of that, they allowed too much underneath and Miami got some first downs. So the way the Bills look at it is, look, we put them in third and long and we're not going to get beat deep. Yeah, we want to get off the field, but we don't want to be results based. We want to make sure that they're working for everything they get. So I think you could just look at it a lot of different ways. The Saints' third downs, I'm sure, are a bit of a product of them hurting themselves. But I don't think that should take away from the Bills doing the job. Right.
Well, I'm looking at it from the opposite point of view in that I don't want to give the credit to the defense if it's something that they didn't do. You got a guy who dropped the ball off his fingertips. You got the drop pass in the end zone. Scoring opportunities for both of them that had nothing to do with our defense. They just blew the play.
Do you think that the ball going off the fingertips on the sidelines could also be because there's tight coverage, so he has to put it in a spot right there?
I think we're thinking of two different plays. I'm thinking of the one in the middle of the field where it was a little bit behind him, but it was definitely catchable. And
sure, if you want to listen, Doug, if you want to do this, you have every right to do it. I mean, if you think that everything that happens just or because the team isn't that bad and they're making their own mistakes and your team did nothing right, I can't stop you. But there's two teams playing out there. And it's a football game.
That's not trying to get at. I'm asking you because you have more opportunity to look at film and different angles and stuff.
Well, I don't know what you want me to say other than, yes, did the Saints make mistakes? Sure. I think you have to also put yourself in a position to force some mistakes, and there's also times where you made the play. right? I mean, like they there's a third down where
looking at it from a skewed, pessimistic point of view. So if that's what you're seeing, then I can look at it that way and go, you know what?
You could look at it any way you want. I'm not telling you not to. Let me look at the state. Let me look at their third downs by game. So let me just look at it. Let's see, what did they do third down? It's a good exercise. Let me go to the Saints. I'll pull up the Saints right now. So if you want to look at it a little bit more holistically, I guess, and say, what have they done? And is it against the Bills here? All right, so third downs for the Saints this year. The Bills did, it's pretty much in line with what they've done all year. 5 of 14, 4 of 11, 5 of 15, 5 of 13. So, I don't know. I mean, they're exactly what they've kind of been all year.
Yeah.
You know? No better, no worse, really. So, you can look at it however you want. I think the answer, Doug, is there's always a little bit of it. There's always a little bit of the other team, you know, making mistakes, and there's always a little bit of you forcing mistakes and making plays. You know, when there's a third down and Terrell Bernard has a great timed blitz and forces Spencer Rattler to throw it and be called for intentional grounding, that's a play the Bills make. That's not on them making a mistake.
Yeah, they definitely had some amazing plays yesterday. There's no doubt about that. I was just curious about that perspective or point of view to see if I was looking at it.
Let me ask you this. The third down that Cole Bishop intercepted, how would you describe that on who made a play or who did something wrong?
Oh, that was all him. It was all defense. He read that beautifully. And he read it in such a way that Rattler didn't even have a chance to pick up that he was coming.
Yeah, it's great. And I will tell you, though, I guarantee you, today on Saints Radio, there's some people going, I can't believe we ran that stupid play. you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could look at it so many different ways, I guess, which is kind of the cool part about being a fan. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Doug. Good exercise to walk through. Tom and NT, what's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good.
Always, you know, always a great on Victory Monday. You know, look, and I've been hearing people today, and I think sometimes as Bills fans, we're never thought I would have said this 5-10 years ago, but we're getting a little spoiled. And look, I'm all for saying, all right, they won. What can we improve on? What can we do better? And that's great, and we should have that. But, you know, I hear people saying, well, you know, the passing game isn't good enough. Well, they're still 6th in the NFL in passing yards per game, which I know is not the only measure of a passing game, but it's you know, it's not like they're entirely sacrificing the passing game for this run game. And even the defense, you know, let's give them a little credit. There was what I think it was 4 drive starts the Saints had yesterday in Bills territory, and that puts the defense at a little bit of a disadvantage there. And then they still coming up with stops. Yeah, it would have been nice, especially in the first and second quarter, the first half there, where the run defense had been a little better. But you know, overall, they did their job, and they, like I said, you know, with 4 drive starts in the Bills territory, that's, you know, holding a team to 19 points, even, you know, quote unquote, even the Saints, that's not a horrible performance overall. And just, you know, kind of take a step back and realize that things, you know, not everything's entirely bad, and just, you know, look for improvement, but
yeah. Hey, it is an NFL football team. It was 0-3 trying to help, you know, salvage their season. They're not a great team. They have a young quarterback, but you know, they came, I thought they did some nice things yesterday, and they had a nice game plan to, you know, get that kid out moving a little bit. He's got some legs. I thought the Bills could have spied on him a little bit more than they did. He made some plays and they stayed in the game. Thanks, Tom. I enjoy the perspective. Yep. Thanks, buddy. Be well. All right. We will take a timeout. When we come back, I'm going to run through what happened around the league. Got a stat for you from the Giants-Chargers game that relates to a Bills game from years ago and how that game wound up. And we'll take a look at the AFC and the standings right now heading into tonight, where you got some other AFC teams playing, which are going to factor into what's happening around the conference. We'll get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, all along the way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hey, join Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, Friday, October 3rd. That's this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Thirsty Buffalo on Elmwood. Scan the QR code on site for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Bills-Dolphins game in Miami. That's right, in Miami. Plus 2 $1,000 Visa gift cards. It's all courtesy of Heineken. Must be 21 and older to enter. No purchase necessary. Sounds like a great time. Maybe you were inside the stadium yesterday for a great time. The Bills beat The New Orleans Saints 31-19. Let's get to our extra point from the sidelines. It is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And it really was a beautiful day. I just want to talk about the environment yesterday at a 1 o'clock game inside that stadium. Sunday, 1 o'clock, beautiful. What's the game time temp? Do you want to guess, Joe Cali? Do you want to guess what the game time kickoff temperature was? Do you know?
I want to say 75?
Ooh, close. 73.
It was a beautiful day.
73 kickoff temperature on the official game book in Orchard Park. 73, 56% humidity, which is nothing. 7 mile per hour winds. Beautiful.
Yeah, football
high,
weather.
High temp 76 during the game, I guess it got to. There you go. High temp 76. You could put everything. They put everything on the game book. High temp 76. Mix of sun and clouds. It's on the game book.
That's crazy.
I know, right? Anyway, I just pulled that up and looked at it. It was a great day yesterday. It's great to be out at the stadium. And really, it kind of dovetails into what the rest of this schedule looks like, because we all know, like, the Bills just don't have many 1 p.m. home games, or even really 1 p.m. games, a lot of them overall. They do have one at Miami. They have another one against the Bucks, one at Carolina. But, okay, I guess you got at New England, at Cleveland. So they do have some more on the road. But at home, you have one more really scheduled, and that is against Tampa on November 16th. But then I'm guessing the one against the Jets at the end will be at 1 o'clock, but it could be at 4:25. We'll see. But that was a beautiful day yesterday. Great to see so many people out there. A lot of kids at the game yesterday. Like, more kids, I guess, younger people than I'm used to seeing. And I think it's because of that, because it's not a night game. Right? Like, if you're going to take a kid to a game, you're like, what game going to we go to? Well, that's a Sunday night. That's a Monday night. That's a Thursday night. Let's go to the afternoon game. And that was cool to see. So that was a good, energetic crowd yesterday. And people were kind of nervous for a while, but wound up going the Bills' favor, obviously. And that was great to see the Bills go to 4-0. And that is our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. Let's take a look around the league yesterday, tell you what happened in the NFL. We started Thursday night. We talked about that on Friday. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 23-20. But then yesterday in the morning, Steelers. What did Chris Brown say? This is such a Steelers win. It was, right? 24-21 over the Minnesota Vikings. The Steelers were up in this game 24-6 in the fourth quarter. And then the Vikings not only score a couple times, they get the ball back and they have a chance. But near at the end of the game, they can't convert. And the Steelers move to 3-1. The Vikings fall to 0-2. After a game in Dublin. Did you know, Joe Cali? This is the back-to-back weeks for the Vikings in international play. They play also next week in London.
Really?
Yeah, so they were in Dublin, and now they go to London. I haven't read the story, but someone wrote a story about how they actually requested the league to do that for some reason. I'm going to go back and read it, but the league has always wanted to kind of, they've done this with Jacksonville, being over there for 2 weeks in a row. These are two road games considered for the Vikings, both one in Dublin, and then the back-to-back, they're going to London against the Browns next Sunday morning.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's insane. Would that be a little bit of an advantage for them in the second road
yeah,
game?
Yeah, I think people would consider that, right? And then they'll have their bye week coming back, so really interesting that's happening. But that'll be another couple international games next week, by the way. That's not the only one. Actually, is it? Yeah, it's the only one. I'm sorry. It's the only international game next week. Okay, so Commanders, without Jaden Daniels again, go to Atlanta, and Marcus Mariota throws for 156 and two touchdowns, but not enough because Michael Penix and the Falcons' offense looked really good yesterday. They roll up 435 yards of offense, Bijan Robinson 75 yards on the ground, and 106 through the air. That's a guy. He's a beast when it comes to an all-purpose monster. Commanders fall to 2-2. Falcons, they improved to 2-2. That's really interesting for them after they were shut out by the Panthers last week. Speaking of the Panthers, they go to New England and get destroyed 42-13. But I looked at this box score. The Panthers had more first downs. They had more third down conversions. They outgained New England in this game, 326-307.
That's insane. And then you get absolutely destroyed. Yeah.
And no turnovers. But the New England had a punt return for a touchdown, which got him rolling. And I don't know, it's just kind of weird to me. Like, I haven't watched this game, but 42-13, yet they had more first downs. They outgained them. They had 5 yards of play. Now, New England had 6.4 yards of play. Looks like New England kind of won with a big play, actually, is what they did. So, Panthers fall to 1-3. New England, the Patriots come to Buffalo next week. They're 2-2. And they're looking to get 3-2 and get a win on the Bills in head-to-head, obviously. Browns are at the Lions. Browns were the team I chose in the loser pool for Paul, so I'm still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to all of you who chose the Chargers, because you are out and I am not anymore. So that's good. I didn't think that the Browns could hold with the Lions, especially after that big win last week. You kind of come down from that. You go and play a Lions. Now, Lions had a big win last week, too. But Lions are better than I thought they would be, losing both coordinators. And here they go again, scoring a boatload of points. The last 3 weeks for the Lions, 52, 38, and 34. It's insane, right? Mm-hmm. What they're doing right there. In this game, Jahmyr Gibbs runs for 91. I'm on Ross St. Brown. 7 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards. How about that? 7-7-7. Play your lottery tonight, pal. And Joe Flacco threw 2 picks for the Browns.
Yeah, he's not playing the same way he did those couple years ago when he was in for them.
No, and the Browns' defense is really good, but that was not a good day for them.
No,
that was
not
a good day. They go to Cleveland and they go to Detroit, excuse me, and they go to 1-3. Detroit goes to 3-1. How about the Texans with a shutout over the Tennessee Titans? I kind of don't like Brian Callahan very much. He seems like he's kind of a jerk to people sometimes.
A little bit,
like
yeah.
In press conferences.
Oh yeah,
did you see him yesterday? And this week he's like. You know, reporters are asking like some valid questions, like, well, I don't know. He's like, he's so condescending to them.
I've seen the clips on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm like, somebody wrote like, he looks like he wants to go fight like the reporters outside. Like, they're not being combative with him.
No, they're just asking questions.
They're
doing their job. Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right? And yeah. So anyway, yesterday, Cam Ward, 10 of 26, 108. In an interception, not going well for the young quarterback. C.J. Stroud, very efficient yesterday. 22 of 28, 233 and 2 touchdowns for the Houston Texans. They get their first win of the year, 1-3. Titans still looking for their first win. They're 0-4. Bills, of course, play the Texans on a Thursday night in November in Houston.
Yeah, the Texans needed that win. No
doubt.
Realistically, yeah.
No doubt. And, you know, now, and honestly, can't you see... Is there a world where you could see maybe the Texans competing still in the South? I could.
Oh,
Indy and Jacksonville.
If they win their division, yeah, Indianapolis, if they hit a stall at any point in the season, yeah.
Texans could be there at the end.
Yeah.
All right, Giants beat the Chargers 21-18. I'm going to give you a stat in this game. I found this today because I'm looking at the box score going, wait a minute, what's going on here? Similarly to what I told you about New England and Carolina, check this out.
Okay,
Chargers had 6 yards of play. The Giants had 3.6, which is incredibly low. Okay? And I'm like, how do you lose a game when you out yard per play a team 6.0 to 3.6? So I went to StatHead, that's Pro Football Reference, and I put in the query. My team has 3.6 or less, their team has 6.0 or more, but I still won. It's the first time it's happened in the NFL since 2018.
Wow.
And the last time it happened was the Bills game against the Dolphins where Charles Clay in the end zone, Josh's rookie year.
Oh, my gosh.
In that game,
that's
crazy. The Bills gained 6.29 yards of play, the Dolphins 3.5, and the Bills lost.
I remember that game.
Yes.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's the last time it happened. I mean, what are we talking here? 7 years. It's been 7 years since a team lost a game with 6 yards of play or more, giving up 3.9 yards a play or more.
And Brian Daboll's now been on both sides of it.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's even crazier. That. It's the same person, kind of. Yeah.
3.6 yards a play or less, I should say. So crazy. Anyway, Giants, I'm burying the lead. Malik Nabers out for the year, torn ACL. Terrible.
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 It looked like he went to jump and just tweaked his knee. And
terrible.
Yeah, non-contact.
Jackson Dart scores a touchdown, gets a win. Good for him. Table and Jackson Dart after the game to see their interaction going crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now Joe Alt's hurt for the Chargers for a while. They're already without Rashawn Slater. They moved Alt over to his side. And Herbert was not good yesterday. 2 interceptions, 23 of 41, 203. Protection's an issue there. Okay. Got to fly through a couple of these here. The Buccaneers, the Eagles. There's another one for you, Joe. Did you know the Eagles did not complete a pass in the entire second half of the game yesterday?
I found that out this morning.
Did not complete a pass
in
the entire second half.
Insane. I think 0 for 8.
0 for 8. Yet they won 31-25 over the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
31-25. Eagles with the Bills. Only 4-0 teams in the NFL. Bucs fall to 3-1. They were undefeated. Bucs come to Buffalo in mid-November. Colts, they lose to the Rams 27-20. Adonai Mitchell, is how I say his name right?
Adonai.
Yeah, so right. Okay.
I'm not 100% positive.
AD Mitchell drops the ball on his way into the end zone before he gets there. Just a tough play for them. He has a holding call and another touchdown is called back. The Rams go deep and they have a 2-2 Atwell touchdown late in the game to win 27-20. They're both 3-1 now. Colts and Rams. Jags knock the 49ers off from the unbeatens. The Jags are now 3-1. The Niners are 3-1 in this game. Trevor Lawrence, 21-31, only 174 and touchdown. Good, efficient day for him. Brock Purdy did throw for 309, but he also had two interceptions to go along with his two touchdown passes. And, of course, Baltimore and Kansas City. Boy, Kansas City just jumped out and just took it to Baltimore after that. After the first series for Baltimore where they score, it's all Kansas City after that. After an opening touchdown by the Ravens, Kansas City outscores them the rest of the way, 37-13. They win 37-20. Patrick Mahomes, 270 yards and four touchdown passes. Lamar Jackson leaves the game late. What they said was a hamstring injury, but the game was kind of out of hand, so we'll see where that goes with the Ravens, who fall to 1-3, and the Chiefs at 2-2. Back and forth, great game between the Raiders and Bears last night. Yesterday afternoon, Bears win 25-24. The Raiders go for a walk-off field goal. It's blocked. Another blocked field goal in this league, which is great. I love seeing it. Make special teams matter again. They certainly are this year. Ashton Gentry finally breaking out. 138 yards and a touchdown run for the rookie running back for the Las Vegas Raiders, who get their the Raiders did lose the game. I'm making it sound like they won. 1-3 on the season. Bears do win the game. They're 2-2. They've now won back-to-back weeks after starting 0-2. Caleb Williams, 212, a touchdown and an interception. I'll get to the game last night in a minute. It's part of my sit-up, stand-down, and hey, buddy, which all comes your way after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. All right, let's get to sit up, stand down, and we're going to get to our Hey Buddy segment as well. I mean, maybe this could actually be both of a sit up kind of thing, to be honest with you, when I think about it. But I want to sit up and give credit to the Texans defense. Let's sit up and pay attention to the Texans defense. I talked a lot about, and I said CJ Stroud was regressing. We talked about that, but we just talked about the Texans a little while ago. Their defense is good, folks, and they are. They just had a shutout yesterday, 26-0. Their scores they've given up this year, only 14 to the Rams, 20 to the Bucs. These are good offenses. 17 to the Jags, and then nothing yesterday. So 14, 20, 17, and nothing. And they get the Ravens next week in Baltimore. And if Lamar Jackson is not in that game, that's going to be tough sledding, even if he is. That's really interesting. The Texans have a good defense. When the Bills go to Houston, and we all saw last year, they gave Josh Allen and the Bills offense fits. When the Bills go to Houston in November on a Thursday night, that is going to be a tougher game maybe than you realize against that defense, because it is very good. Let's sit up on what the Texans defense is doing. They may keep them into this AFC South race for a while, and they might have a chance when it's all said and done. All right, let's stand down on the way that the overtime ended yesterday in Packers-Cowboys. Did you see this game? 40-40. Okay, now. If you're in Green Bay today, you're like, I can't believe they almost ran that clock out because they threw a pass at the very, very end, and luckily there was 1 second. If the ball like gets batted up in the air and then falls to the ground and one more second comes off, the Packers would have lost the game stupidly because they decided to run a play like that and take that much time as the clock was running. But they did ultimately kick the field goal with 1 second remaining. What I'm saying, though, is, can we please just get rid of the clock on overtime? Here's actually what you should do. I don't mind the clock. Here's my idea, Joe. When a team scores on their first possession, if the other team has their second possession, which they get now, if clock expires 15, they can finish out the possession. That's what I... Just yeah. Finish out the possession. That's what
Dallas
they should be allowed
to
do.
Run that down.
Yes.
And just leave them with nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not...
You could do that. Yeah. Anybody could do that. You could literally just run the clock down and leave a team 30 seconds... Score a touchdown, like, okay, sorry, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean...
This might cause an off-season discussion.
And there has been talk about this, but that's what I want to stand down on. Stand down on the way that the overtime rule works, because I think that you need to at least allow that team. And it didn't matter yesterday necessarily, but it could have mattered, because if that ball falls at 0-0, they would have had fourth down, a chance to tie the game, and they wouldn't have been able to do it, right? And I think that's why you got to be able to do that. All right, let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Lou, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
I referenced him earlier, but I'm just going to say it here. My buddy is Howard Simon. I got to know how he's feeling. I'm feeling really bad for him. Hey, buddy, I hope you're okay after that epic Mets collapse and not making the playoffs with that payroll and that roster. Holy cow. How did the Mets not make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough.
Really, really tough. Howard, I texted him, Joe, and I said, Howard, I want you to know you're going to be my buddy today for Hey Buddy, and he has not responded.
Oh, no.
And I'm worried about my buddy, Howard Simon, that he's just in a corner crying right now, upset. And then Pete Alonso said he's opting out, right? He's going to be a free agent again. I think that he said that.
Whoa.
I believe I read that.
Yeah. I just haven't been tuned in at all today, but whoa.
Yeah. So tomorrow, playoffs begin. And by the way the playoffs work in the first round, best of three, all in one place. So all three games, that way they'd have no travel for a three-game series. And you got Detroit and Cleveland, and every day is the exact same time. Detroit and Cleveland at 1 o'clock. Padres and Cubs at 3 o'clock. Red Sox, Yankees at 6 o'clock. Reds, Dodgers at 9 o'clock. So you get that for basically three straight days. And let's hope, for my sake, it's only 2 days and the Yankees can take care of business against the Red Sox. So
I'm hoping so, too. I'm with you on that.
Are you a Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a band together here against Bulldog, I think. So
yes.
All right. Thanks a lot to G, producing on the video side of the bullpen, for coming in, for all of you for watching, for listening. Thanks a lot to Joe Kelly as well. I'll be back later this week with reports from One Bills Drive on Wednesday. You got Zach and Derek coming your way tomorrow here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, One Bills Live up next here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.